This is the IBJ Podcast for the week of January 18th, 2021. I'm Mason King. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. We're all adults here, so I think we can mutter a few choice words under our breaths about the process of buying a car. Going to a dealership and cutting a deal is one of the great adult rites of passage. And like most rites of passage, it can be nerve-wracking, humbling, and make you feel like the deck has been stacked against you. Now, if you've lived in central Indiana for a while, there's an outside chance that you bought a car from Cole Kiesling, who has sold cars and managed car sales teams for the last quarter century. He knows how car dealers and manufacturers operate, how they determine prices, and what they want from you when you roll up looking for a new vehicle. So given that information, you may be surprised to learn that Cole has created a website and an app designed to make the car buying experience as simple, and dare I say it, as pleasurable, as possible for the consumer. And here's an important distinction. He hasn't just created it. He has launched it in central Indiana. It's been operating since last year and selling vehicles. It has an investment from NBA team owner and Shark Tank star Mark Cuban. And his board of directors includes tech entrepreneur Scott Jones. Here's the basic model. Consumers describe the car they want to CarSnoop, which then sends that ideal description out for bids to a network of more than 70 Indiana car dealers. And it does so without giving the dealers any of your personal information. Not your name, not your employer, not your income, not your age, not your address, nothing. And there's no haggling or waiting for the salesman to talk to the manager. It is possible to go through the purchase or lease process without the dealer ever knowing who you are. IBJ's Anthony Shutley has a story on CarSnoop in this week's issue of IBJ, and Cole is our guest this week on the podcast. In addition to learning more about CarSnoop, I wanted to ask him how someone who didn't have any experience in tech was able to develop a sophisticated app and website, and get his take on what about the traditional ways of buying and selling cars drove him to leave his old career behind. Here's our conversation. I'd like to welcome to the IBJ Podcast virtual studio, Cole Kiesling, the founder of CarSnoop. Thank you so much for making time today.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Can you give me a sense of your background in car sales? Like, were you the dreaded car salesman and then also the mysterious manager in the back?
Yeah. You know, I've been in the business now 23 years, and I started out as a sales guy, of course, and worked my way up through finance and new car management, used car management, general sales manager. I've done it all. I even did those super sales where they, you know, send out 40,000 mailers and drive people in and have them do the scratch offs. And, you know, I'd be all over the country taking over car dealerships, running a big circus, you know? So it's crazy. I've done it all, seen it all. I have buddies of mine that when I tell them stories about what I have witnessed in the car business, they're like, that's an HBO series. You know, I mean, there's some wild stories that I could tell you that you would probably never believe that took place at a car dealership. It's really, really changed drastically though in the last 10 years. The whole world in general has. It almost was like the Wild West when I started in the car business. I mean, everything goes. Even back from, you know, have a fist fight in the showroom and no one got fired. No police got called. You know, it's just the way it was. I'll meet you out behind the body shop and let's have it out. And then after that, we're good to go, right? Yeah, we're good to go.
Wait, that's like a coworker or with a customer?
I've seen it all. I've seen it all, Mason. I've seen salespeople get into it with customers. I see customers pull guns. I can't even tell you, brother. I mean, you would not believe the stuff that is taking place in a car dealership. Cars being intentionally run through the showroom, like through the glass wall, you know. The customer said, I'm going to run the car through the dealership because they wouldn't take it back. And he went outside, got in the car, and drove it through the dealership. I mean, he drove it right through the glass wall while we were all standing there.
That's amazing. Okay, that leads really well to my next question. Why would you want, after such a decorated career, why would you want to develop an app and a website that limits or even completely eliminates the contact between the dealer and the customer?
I had a group of people that I've been selling cars to for so many years that became my own customers. No matter where I went, they still contacted me to even help them buy cars at other places. The number one complaint in the car business is how long it takes to buy the car. And then the second complaint is how long it takes after you said yes. So, you know, I always say, I love the car business. I hate everybody in it. That's how I always talk about it, right? So the reason I hate it is, from a salesperson's standpoint, I'm really good at my craft. I'm really good at overcoming the objections that the consumer has and getting to an ultimate goal. And I'm also really good at getting my obstacles out of my way within the car dealership. Things like the finance department, the cleanup department, the parts department, the service department, right? All these people have their hands in my ultimate end-all goal, which is to deliver you this car in a timely manner. So I was kind of like the traffic controller when I'm involved in the car dealership, because I would make sure that your time was wasted the least amount possible. So there was no reason for you to come in yet if your car is still in the service department and hasn't even made it to cleanup yet, and the finance manager hasn't even started printing your paperwork. So I would keep you away from all of this while many salespeople keep you captive. There's so many things tied to your being completely satisfied. I don't know, when's the last time you bought a car?
You know, I've bought all used cars from like individual sales. I've never been in a dealership.
Congratulations. Well, if you buy a new car, immediately you start getting hounded about how they need you to be completely satisfied for the process that you had to go through at the car dealership, okay? There's a survey that gets mailed out or emailed from the manufacturer between 1 and 10 on the scale about the process, how finance treated you, the cleanliness of the dealership, the coffee bar, the restrooms are clean. You literally have to fill in all these little things. And if it's not completely satisfied, the dealership fails and the salesperson fails, okay? That survey is tied to a ton of money from the manufacturer that gets paid back to the dealership on how much volume they do. So they are freaking out that the consumer gives them a 10 while they're only giving service that deserves a 5. So what do they have to do? They have to give you free oil changes. They have to end up giving you free gas. They have to end up tinting your windows for free. So they have to give up money to then get you to be completely satisfied again. And so what I figured out was, well, why don't we just do the process right the first time and eliminate all the things that make people crazy? The phone calls, the emails, the text messages, the wasting of my time. And the end result is the consumer, the buyer, is so happy that they didn't have to go through your dealership, that they're going to give you a completely satisfied survey, because they're really surveying Car Snoop. They're so glad that they didn't have to do it that way anymore, that they're happy. We are trying to make the experience something that you remember, that you have desired, and that you didn't even know existed. We're different because we are a new car platform. With the new cars, what we don't have is we don't have the objection of condition, because they're all the same. If it's a red Silverado LS extended cab at a dealership with 40 salespeople, it's also a red extended cab LS at a dealership with 4 salespeople. So the truck is the same. Ultimately, what we're trying to find is who's going to give the best price and the most money for my trade. So I'm kind of removing all the big advertisers, all of that stuff out of the way. Here's the truck. What will you sell it for? And how much will you give me for my trade? If it's enough, I'll buy it from you. If it's not, I'm not even going to talk to you.
It's only for me if I'm buying a new car.
No, we do facilitate used car deals, but we have to be more involved. If you look on our website, we have a white glove concierge service is what we like to call it. You do have to pay a small fee, but there's a lot more involved. I mean, because ultimately what we're doing for you is we're doing all the legwork and we are ensuring that the vehicle that you're going to ultimately choose is the right one. And the reason why you can trust CarSnoop with that is we don't care who you buy the car from. We don't care what you buy. It's irrelevant to us. So there's no motivation on our end to push you down that path and put you in a seat to a car that ultimately isn't the best choice for you. So on the used car side, we're going to go touch the car. We're going to do the homework on its service history and its condition. We're going to send you video walk-arounds of those vehicles. And then we're going to be able to offer you test drives. So instead of you going out and looking at four or five makes and models that fit your wants and needs, and then each time you do that, you have to talk to somebody, you have to give them your personal information. It might not even close to be the car that you want, but for you to get to the point where you realize it's not the car you want, you've already exposed yourself. They're now calling you, emailing you, text messaging you, finding out if you bought a car yet. The car is still here. You walked away thinking, that thing's a piece of junk. I wouldn't buy that car for anything. But that person now has all your personal and private information, and they're not going to leave you alone. In the car business, we like to say, buy or die. That's it. Either buy my car or die so I can't ever talk to you again. And that's a true thing, brother.
So I would go on the CarSnoop. I would say, okay, I want to buy the new Outback. It asked me questions about what all I want with my car. And then CarSnoop now contacts its dealers and says, okay, who's got the best deal on this car?
Yeah, so you go to carsnoop.com and you build the exact car that you want. Make, model, trim, and packages. Color, everything. And then you can also scan your VIN of your trade-in, which is important to know. We help facilitate trades. You take photos of your trades. You update your mileage. And then, well, that's your deal. That's the car you want. That's your trade-in. And then that goes out to our Subaru dealers. Those dealers don't, this is important to know for your listeners too. We're anonymous, meaning the dealerships don't know who you are. They don't know your race. They don't know your gender. They don't know your email address, your phone number. They don't know anything about you. So we like to say that we level the playing field in that aspect. Everybody is the same. And you remember when you talked about that, have I been that guy behind the wall, behind the glass wall? Well, I have been. And the only people that are facilitating these car deals are the managers. So the managers then get an alert that they have a new opportunity, and they can go into log into the CarSnoop portal on the dealer side. And then they see that you have built a Subaru and this is the one that you want. And here's your trade. They have to respond with an actual vehicle. So they have to put a VIN number in of a vehicle that is the close to matching of what you've requested. So I did that intentionally. I don't want a dealer to just respond back with a price and kind of hook you on a car that he doesn't even have. Because what it's doing now is it's putting you back in that wasting my time mode. So he has to put a VIN number in that's an actual vehicle that he has or that he can obtain from another dealership. So then he puts in the vehicle, he puts in his price, he puts in their incentives. He puts in the trade value and it sends it back out to you as a consumer. You then get an alert that you have a new offer. As those offers start coming in, you can decide which one is the vehicle that matches the closest to what you've built. And of course, narrow it down by who's giving you the most for your trade and who's giving you the best ultimate price, right? You can chat, you can ask more questions, you can talk to us. We can help you with financing questions, with back-end product questions, you know, warranty, gap, tire and wheel coverage, all the other options that you can add on to it. Ultimately, once you choose the deal that fits for you, at that time, you then would fill out your credit application that we supply, and that then goes to the dealership. And then when the paperwork is ready, either you schedule it to be picked up at the dealership or 99.9% of the time is what's happening is the vehicle and the paperwork is coming to your house. They're picking up the trade-in at your home, taking it back to the dealership. You don't even step foot in there.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Let me back up for a second. So you get this idea for CarSnoop. Do you have any background in website development or app development?
Zero. I'm a car guy that literally on the back of a napkin thought, man, I could automate this. This could be technology based. How do I do it? I've just been blessed with relationships. You know, I was told a long time ago that relationships make the world go around, and it's not what you know, it's who you know. Believe me, in the car business, I've burned a ton of bridges. I mean, it not only burned them, I light the dynamite and explode them. So I know that I'm never going back there again, right? It's that type of lifestyle. But, you know, I've kept those relationships that matter to me close. I've treated those people well. And I when it was time, and I just started reaching out to my network and asking questions, and I got to where I am. It's been a battle, and it's a battle every day. I've learned a lot. I have to ask so many questions. And it's still a problem with development and stuff. I'm really not sure exactly what they're saying, you know. So, but I keep asking questions, and I figured out, you know, it's always this way. It costs more and it takes longer. And in the development world, you know, with coders and whatnot, if you don't spell it out for them, you don't get it. You know, I mean, I might think it's common sense. But if you don't tell them A, B, C, skip D, go to E, they're going to E next. And it's just the way it is. Of course, we've made mistakes, but we're learning from them. And we're excited about where we're going for sure.
Well, for everybody who has a great idea for an app or website, but no technical training, just quickly let them know. I mean, how do you get something like that built?
I mean, you got to go to a firm that has that coding background, app development. Of course, there's places here in the city that do that. I didn't know them, but I'll tell you real quick. I mean, we started with a company out of Georgia, but what I figured out was they were kind of the middleman, meaning they were the project manager. They were definitely knowledgeable in mapping out what I was wanting to do, but they were farming out my coding and my development work overseas. So there was always a law in getting an answer to or a fix. Well, because the people were doing it while I was sleeping. And it took me about 4 or 5 months to figure that out, that I don't think they're really doing this there. And so my burn rate was too high. So I started doing some homework and utilized another connection, and we moved it overseas. So we're actually doing our development in the Ukraine. But what's funny is that's where they were doing it already, you know. So we just cut out the middleman.
So how long did it take to go from like the idea to where you are right now?
About 24 months. Now, and honestly, it's taken longer because of the pandemic. We had a pretty big 6 months kind of slowdown period from the financing point for us, just because of so much uncertainty that was going on. What's crazy though is, you know, we were building CarSnoop to be a touch-free, eliminate dealership and what the dealerships do and having to go to dealerships. We were doing this before the pandemic. So it's really played into our hands per se without, you know, taking advantage, but it just has. It's changed the way people buy everything, you know, and it's important to know that before the pandemic, it was about 30% of consumers were okay with completely buying a car online, about 30% of the population. It's doubled. It's 64% in the last 10 months are now willing to completely buy a car online. And to do that in a short amount of time in anything, to double anything, that's pretty unprecedented.
Is it a detriment to the consumer that the dealership can know so much about them? Can probably know what their credit score is, can see whether they're a man or a woman, can see the car that they drive up in, can find out, you know, what they do for a living, can find out where they live. Does that give the dealership an advantage?
Sure. I mean, you know, I want to be careful how I talk about it, but, you know, there's lots of things that take place just in evaluating who a person is when they walk in the door. The car that they drive, the bumper sticker on the back of it, you know, I mean, there's so many variables. And of course, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you know, gender and race is a real thing.
So how does CarStu make money?
The dealership pays us per transaction. It's a flat fee. Right now, we're finding out that the dealerships are kind of charging those deals to advertising because we're like a vendor to them. You know, our fee is spread out over all of their deals that they're doing. That's how we're doing it here in the Indy market. We are going to be expanding rapidly here this year, and we're going to start advertising to Louisville and Cincinnati. But ultimately, we're going to end up being a subscription-based service for these car dealers. There's going to be some changes to our platform. We're going to become more of a marketplace to where consumers can list their cars to be bid on by dealers to purchase them. So consumers like yourself, let's say you want to sell your car, ultimately right now you have about two options, right? Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist. Neither one of those are safe. And you also are bringing people to your house or meeting them. And I don't know if you sold anything on Facebook Marketplace, but as soon as you list it, right, is this available? Is this available? Is this available? It never stops. And then the people never show up. And so it's so saturated that the experience side of Facebook Marketplace and all these type of apps and stuff are just ruined. One thing that we're going to add to our platform is you're going to be able to list your car on CarSnoop, and then all of these dealers that we have, they're going to be the ones that are going to be able to bid to buy your car from you.
Oh, wow.
So instead of you selling it to Carvana or going over to CarMax and selling it to CarMax, which is just one person to give you one price, right now we're going to have 60 to 100 dealers that can see your car and bid on your car to buy it from you. Mm-hmm. And what it does is you don't have to worry about, can the person actually pay for the car, right? It's a dealership. Their check is good, and they work with us.
How many cars have been sold on CarSnoop so far?
Yeah, through our platform.
Yeah, through our platform. Yeah,
I did over 100 of these transactions manually, and then through the platform itself, we've done roughly 60 cars through the app. So this month, we're already on pace to have our biggest month ever. So we're really excited about that. We envision, just so you know, our ultimate goal is, as we get running full steam in the Indianapolis market, we want to be doing about 400 transactions a month, which then makes us basically one of the largest dealerships in Indianapolis. If you're doing 350 to 400 cars, you're one of the big dogs in the city. And so we want to be able to facilitate that many deals through our platform on a monthly basis, just in the Indy market alone.
How many do you think you're going to have this month?
We're going to do roughly 20, probably 25 is what we'll end up doing. But like I mentioned before to you, this is the first time that we've done any advertising starting this week.
Oh, yeah. Tell me again about the big campaign.
Yeah, we have 900 radio ads over the next 21 days. We're doing, of course, Google ad buys, AdWord buys, and some social media push. We wanted to make sure, as of course, like I talk about the experience, we want it to be as seamless as possible with a little amount of hiccups. And being that we are a technology company, you know, we've had some of those barriers. So we removed some steps through the app in the process that we figured out were kind of dump off points for people, you know, because the least amount of steps to get through a process, the better. We've really been spending, since we started doing transactions through the platform this summer, we really wanted to slow it down as much as possible to make sure that the experience-wise, each person was good.
Well, best of luck to you. Thank you so much for explaining this. This is really fascinating.
I appreciate the time. I like talking about it, and it's important to me for people to know that we're here to help.
My thanks again to Cole Kiesling. If you'd like to learn more about CarSnoop, and in particular, what customers and dealers have to say about it, you can check out Anthony Shutley's story in the latest issue of IBJ. And before you get on with the rest of your week, there are a few other strong stories I want to bring to your attention. First up, downtown apartment managers are extending rent specials, reducing parking costs, and offering other incentives to get tenants in the door and to lock in current residents as they try to stave off a pandemic-related slowdown. IBJ's Mickey Shuey charts the decline in rent prices downtown and their continued rise elsewhere in the Indy area. Also in this week's issue, John Russell explores the rush to vaccinate Hoosiers for COVID-19 as quickly as possible after federal officials gave states the green light to dramatically expand the pool of people eligible to receive vaccines. And Sam Quinn details the progress of the Indianapolis International Airport's revamp of its retail and restaurant offerings, which is off to a slower start than anticipated due to the pandemic. And again, you can find these stories in the latest print edition of IBJ or online at IBJ.com. I will say it's quite a bit easier to access all of the latest news and all of IBJ's data on Central Indiana's business community and economy if you're a subscriber. It works out to about $2 per week for actionable information you're not going to find anywhere else. Just go to IBJ.com and click on the subscribe button. And thanks for making time this week for the IBJ podcast, which is edited by Leslie Weidenbender. I'm Mason King. Hang in there, everybody. We'll be back again next week.